Hello, welcome to Lesson 3. Because of your work in Lesson 2, you're now familiar with the directory page and the open document prompts. From the practice exercise, you learned how to move the cursor and then how to use three error correction techniques: overtyping, inserting, and deleting. During this lesson, we're going to enlarge our focus from creating and correcting pages to include more on features that make it easier for you to type specific kinds of documents. The lesson is called Working with Documents, and we're going to work with three documents. In the first document, we'll center lines. In the second document, we'll prepare a table that has financial information. In the last document, we'll indent lines. We'll also learn about different ways you can print documents. These features, centering, financial typing, indenting, and printing, are common to almost every office document. We have a lot to cover, so let's jump right in and begin. Figure 3-1 describes what you're going to learn and lists the materials you'll need for the lesson. Turn to Figure 3-1, read through the information, and gather the materials for the lesson. Stop the tape and do that now. The first document we're going to work with is a draft of an advertisement in the form of an announcement. The text for the announcement is shown in Figure 3-2. Turn to Figure 3-2, review the instructions, and read through the announcement. Go ahead, do that now. Because this announcement is a draft, we'll come back to the text from time to time and either change it or add more to it. The information in the announcement is typical of the advertising messages sent to people every day. The author tries to attract your attention in two ways: the centered lines at the beginning and end of the text, and the short, easy-to-read typing lines. If you were typing this document on a regular typewriter, you would insert a sheet of paper, set the margins, and then calculate the spaces needed to center the lines. To center on a regular typewriter, you would have to count characters, or tab, and then backspace. With Scriptsit, centering is automatic. Just type the line and then enter the centering instruction. The results are instantaneous. The line is centered between the margins. No need to count or backspace. Setting the narrow typing line isn't quite as fast as centering, but it's no more difficult than setting the margins on a typewriter. We're going to type this announcement as soon as you get the system ready. Can you remember what to do? To create a new document, you must bring the directory page to the screen. So if your system is turned off, you must begin by turning it on and loading Scriptsit. If the system is on because someone else has been using it, check to be sure they are finished. If they were using another program, press Reset and load Scriptsit. If you or someone else has been using Scriptsit, but the directory isn't on the screen, press Escape Q and the directory will appear. Go ahead now. Do whatever is necessary to display the directory page. Now that the directory is on the screen, look at the left side of Figure 3-2. These items are the responses you should type for the Create Document prompts. The Create New Document prompts appear after you press the F1 key and press Enter to skip the password. Press the F1 key now, then press Enter, and then answer the prompts with the responses that are listed in Figure 3-2. Go ahead. Do that now. You've told the system to create a new document called Announcement. When you pressed Escape to record the opening prompts, the working page appeared. Now, the cursor appears at the top of the screen and the Format and Status line at the bottom of the screen. The next step is to change the format to a shorter typing line. By looking at the numbers after the word Marge in the Status line, you can verify the margin positions. Right now, the margins are set at 10 and 70. Now, to follow the instructions in the figure, set the margins at 20 and 60 and erase the Outline tab. To make these format changes, you must first move the cursor from the text area to the Format line. You can enter one of two instructions to do this. The short instruction bypasses the prompt messages in the status line. The long instruction requires you to answer the prompt messages. The short instruction is the easiest, so let's work with it. To change the format line, you begin by pressing Control and, without releasing Control, typing the letter F. When you press Control F, the cursor will move to the format line and you can set or reset the margins and tab positions. To erase one of the settings, overtype it with a hyphen. To set new margins and tabs, move the cursor to the desired position and then type the appropriate format line symbol for the setting. When you finish, press Enter. The cursor will move back to the text area and the system will lock the settings in the format line. From this point on, any new text you type will follow the format you have set. Figure 3-3 describes the format line symbols and the two instructions you can enter to change the format line. Read the description and summary in Figure 3-3, then change your format line according to the directions at the beginning of the announcement. Go ahead, do that now. The cursor is back at the top of the screen, and now we're ready to type. For now, let's not worry about centering anything. Begin typing each centered line at the left margin and end each line by pressing Enter. While you're typing, remember that the system will wrap around words that won't fit at the end of a line. You don't have to watch and be concerned about where to end each line. The boxes you see in the announcement in Figure 3-2 indicate the only places where you should press Enter. If you make any typing mistakes, you can backspace, overstrike, delete, or insert to correct them. Go ahead now. Type the announcement in Figure 3-2. I told you that the centering instruction was fast, but seeing is believing. Move the cursor back up to the first line of the announcement. Do that now. The centering instruction also has a short and long version. Because the short instruction is the easiest, we'll use it. Press Control and, without releasing Control, type the letter L. Go ahead. Center the first line of the announcement. Control L sure beats counting and backspacing. Finish centering the other title lines by positioning the cursor and then pressing Control and the letter L together. Go ahead. Two important notes about centering. One, if you want to uncenter a line, position the cursor on the line and enter the instruction again. Two, the line you center must end with Enter. If you try to center a line that is part of a paragraph or that doesn't end with Enter, a flashing message appears in the status line. To cancel the message, press Break. Figure 3-4 summarizes the centering instructions. Review the summary, then practice centering and uncentering the lines in the announcement. If you want to see the error message, try to center one of the paragraphs. Go ahead. Review Figure 3-4 and then practice centering and uncentering. In a minute, we're going to print this announcement, but there's one short instruction that you may want to use all the time. For example, for the announcement, you were told to press Enter only when you saw the small box. The box is more than an artistic representation. It's actually the machine symbol for the Enter key. As we prepare and revise other documents, you may prefer to see exactly where you press Enter. If you want to view the Enter codes, press the Control key and, without releasing Control, type the letter V. Go ahead. Do that now. Not only can you see where you pressed Enter, but when you press Control V, you can also see soft returns, or the spaces at the end of the line where the words wrapped around. The partial boxes at the end of the lines in the paragraphs appear at every soft return. Viewing codes, or the full video mode, is particularly helpful if you're not sure exactly how you prepared a page. When you see where the codes are, you can easily make changes. When you finish making the changes, you can press Control and V together again, and the codes will disappear. Figure 3-5 describes the codes and summarizes the instruction to view them. Read the information in the figure, then remember the instruction and use it when you need it. Go ahead. Read 3-5 now. All right, let's go right on and plan how to print the announcement. With Scriptsit, you have a variety of printing choices. First of all, you can print while working in an open document, or you can print a document from the directory. And finally, you can use the print screen instruction to print whatever is displayed on the screen. In this lesson, we'll print from the open document. When you print from an open document, the printing instructions are grouped together as a document utility. A document utility is a short mini program that affects the document you are working with. Document utilities are similar to the diskette utilities you worked with in Lesson 1 to format and make a backup. When you select the printing utility, the text on the screen will disappear and the menu page for printing will appear. But don't worry about your text. It's not lost. Selecting the printing utility, like going back to the directory, saves the text on the disk. As you'll see with other document utilities, anytime text disappears and a menu page appears, the page is stored on the disk. The short instruction to select the printing utility has two steps. You begin by pressing Control, and without releasing Control, you type the letter U. Then you type the letter P. Go ahead. Press Control U, then type the letter P. The printing menu has 11 prompts. The default responses are already entered, but you may want to change some of them. We'll discuss each prompt briefly, then you can answer them on your own and print the announcement. The first two prompts ask you to identify what page to begin printing on and what page to stop printing after. For this announcement, type a B for the first prompt and an E for the second. In Lesson 4, when we work with longer documents, you'll practice entering different page numbers to print. For most documents, the paper size will be 66 lines. Since there are 6 lines to an inch, if you want to change to legal size paper or to mailing labels or postcards, measure the length of the paper, label, or card and multiply by 6. The fourth prompt asks you to determine the maximum number of lines that you want to print on a page. We'll talk about headers and footers in Lesson 6. But for now, we'll work with the default response of 50 lines. The fifth prompt asks you to specify the column position for the left side of the paper. The left column position is the left-hand starting point for the printer. If you have a daisy wheel printer, you'll see a pitch scale located above the platen roller. You'll use the numbers on the pitch scale to locate your column position. Here's how column position works. If your document has a left margin of 10, and you answer the column position prompt by typing 5, the print wheel will move to position 5 on the pitch scale and then count to the left margin from there. Your document will begin printing at position 15. Scriptsit always counts to the left margin from wherever you set the column position. For most of your printing jobs, you'll want to use the default setting of 1. The sixth prompt asks whether you want to stop printing after each page. If you are using continuous form paper, be sure you type an N. The Y you see now instructs the system to stop printing at the end of a page so you can insert another sheet of paper. For the next prompt, whether or not you justify by character, word increments, or space insertion depends on the printer you're using. I'll come back to justifying in a minute. But since we don't want to justify, for this prompt, type an N for no. Next, if your printer is set for 10 characters to the inch, type a 10 to answer the prompt. If it's set for 12 characters to the inch, type a 12. Next, we only want one copy of this announcement, but you can print as many as 254 original copies of a document. Quite often, printing an extra copy is faster and less expensive than making a photocopy. Radio Shack printers are all parallel printers. So if you're using a Radio Shack printer, you don't have to change the next prompt. If you're using another kind of printer, or if you're using your own printer driver, you have to know a little about that printer to answer this prompt correctly. If you're not sure which printer you are using, ask someone in your office or call the manufacturer of the printer. Next, if you're printing a draft copy of a long document, or if you're preparing a legal brief, quite often it's helpful to number each text line. If you answer this prompt by typing a Y, line numbers will print on the left edge of the page. That was a quick summary of the prompts. 3, you must review yourself. These are justification and parallel or other kind of printer. Review the reference manual that belongs to your printer and remember to change these 3 prompts according to your needs. The other prompts are fairly obvious. You'll change them from one document to the next. Figure 3-6 describes the printing prompts in more detail. The figure also contains instructions you can use to print a previously recorded document right from the directory, and instructions on how to print from the screen. You'll also find information about the print monitor in the figure. Get ready to stop the tape and read figure 3-6. When you finish reading the figure, insert a sheet of paper in the printer. Fill in the printing menu and then press Escape and print the announcement. Go ahead. Read figure 3-6. Fill in your menu page and print your announcement. How does the announcement look? It should look like the sample in figure 3-2, but if yours is slightly different, that's okay. Did you notice that when the announcement began printing, the print document menu disappeared and the print monitor appeared on the screen? The print monitor allows you to control the printer during printout. You can stop printing by typing S and then continue printing by typing C. If you want to return to the directory and work on another document, you can press Escape. In other words, printing with Scriptsit is a background operation, and that means that you can type or edit one document while Scriptsit is printing another. Background printing is quite helpful if you have a long document to print and want to work on another document while you are printing it. That's all we're going to say about background printing in this lesson, but if you want to learn more about background printing, read about it in your Scriptsit reference manual. Okay, you've printed the announcement and the directory has returned to the screen. Now that we're finished with the announcement, we're going to create another document. The next document we're going to prepare is shown in figure 3-7. Turn to the figure, review the text, then press the F1 key, press Enter, and fill in the Create New Document menu with the information on the left side of the figure. Come back when the blank working page is on the screen. Go ahead, read figure 3-7 and prepare the system to begin typing. This document represents a page from a catalog. The text is actually a chart or table that lists the code number for a product, the name of the product, and the different prices for the product. If you were to prepare this chart on a regular typewriter, you would set tabs at the beginning of each column, then tab and type each column entry. To prepare this chart on your Model 2, you can do exactly the same thing. Set tabs to mark the beginning of each column, and then tab and type. Financial information is easier to read when the column entries are right aligned, or are aligned at the decimal point. But by setting regular tabs for each column, you have to spend time adding extra spaces at the beginning of the columns to line up the prices in this chart. With Scriptsit, you have a choice. You can set regular tabs and add the extra spaces at the beginning of the entries in order to right-align the columns, or you can set align tabs at the decimal position for each column and let the system line up the columns for you automatically. When you set and use align tabs, you're telling the system to display the characters from the align tab position right to left until you type a decimal point. After typing a decimal point, the system displays the characters in the normal left to right pattern. Here is what you do to set and use align tabs in order to prepare the catalog page in figure 3-7. First, Change the format line so it has the new margins, tabs, and align tabs. To set regular tabs, type a T. To set align tabs, type an A. Then, when typing the text, every time you want to move to a regular tab, press the tab key and type as you normally do. When you want to move to an align tab, press Control and without releasing Control, type the letter T. Control T moves you only to an align tab setting. Tab moves you only to a regular tab setting. Figure 3-8 summarizes how to set and use align tabs. After you read the summary, press Control and F together, reset the margins, tabs, and align tabs according to the instructions in Figure 3-7. Then type the catalog. You may find that it helps to see the tab codes and align tab codes. If you want to select the full video mode, be sure that you press Control and V together, and you'll see the codes on the screen. All right. Read Figure 3-8, change the format line, and type the catalog page. Go ahead. Do that now. Developing a typing rhythm for typing aligned columns takes a little practice. If you press Tab when you should have pressed Control T, the cursor moved to the end of the line and you had to backspace and try again. You may not have been as successful with the catalog as you were with the announcement, but if you know what you did wrong, you can correct the page or delete the text on the screen and try again. Proofread the catalog now and make any necessary corrections or changes. Go ahead. As you can see, with every Scriptset feature, you have a choice. You can enter an instruction by answering each prompt, or you can enter an instruction by typing a short instruction. With columns of numbers, you can set tabs and type the columns as you do on a regular typewriter, or you can type them the fast way by setting and using align tabs. You decide what's best for you. If you would like to print a copy of the catalog page, press Control and U together, then type the letter P. Answer the prompts and then press Escape to begin printing. If you choose not to print the catalog, go ahead and quit the document. To quit the document, you'll press Control and without releasing Control, type Q. Okay, print the catalog or quit the document, whichever you prefer. Whether you use the document utility to print or Control Q to quit a document, the page or document is automatically recorded on the diskette. Then, when printing is finished, the directory returns to the screen. As you can see by looking at cell 2 of the directory, your catalog has been added to the list of documents on the diskette. Your directory is filling up. Besides the documents that were recorded for you, you now have the three documents you have recorded. There's the typing practice document from Lesson 2 and the announcement and catalog page from this lesson. You should be very pleased with your progress. Already, you know how to create a document and record it on a diskette. You know how to insert, delete, and overtype. You have practiced changing the format line, centering, and aligning numbers. And you've learned how to print your documents. You've come a long way in a very short time. Keep up the good work. The last document we're going to prepare in this lesson is a familiar one. Turn to Figure 3-9, read the instructions, and review the memo. Go ahead. Do that now. At one time or another, everyone in an office sends or receives a memo. It's one of the most common office documents. If you were to prepare this memo on a regular typewriter, you would slow down a bit to indent each line in the numbered list. And to type the note at the end of the memo, you would slow down even more to indent the lines from both the left and right margins. When tabs are used at the beginning of lines of text, they indent the lines. That's different from when tabs are used as starting points for columns in a chart or table. With Scriptset, you don't have to slow down your typing to indent text lines. When you want to indent from the left margin, type an outline tab in the format line. Or when you want to indent from both sides, reset the margins. Follow along with the examples in Figure 3-10 while I explain the three ways to indent. Go ahead. Turn to Figure 3-10 now. The first example in Figure 3-10 illustrates the normal paragraph indent. In Lesson 2, you learned that you can use an outline tab to indent a paragraph. If you have typed an O in the format line, when you press Enter, the cursor ends the line you are on and moves to the outline tab on the next line. Because you set the outline tab after the left margin, pressing Enter not only returns the cursor, it automatically indents the next line. The second example in Figure 3-10 illustrates how your text will look when you set the outline tab before the left margin. By resetting the outline tab before the left margin in the format line, you can achieve the opposite indented effect. When you press Enter, the cursor will move to the outline tab. Then when the text wraps around to the next line, it will begin at the left margin. Because the left margin comes after the outline tab, each of the lines in the paragraph will look indented. In the last example, lines are indented from both sides. When you are ready to begin typing this paragraph, you can change the format line so the margins are narrower, and then type the text. Finally, as you can see from the note at the bottom of Figure 3-10, there's a fast way to change the left margin. If you have tabs set where you will want your different left margins, you can press Escape, then press the right cursor key, and the left margin will move in to the next tab position. Or, if you press Escape and the left cursor key, the left margin will move out to the next tab position. Okay, let's consider the memo you're going to type. The procedures for the second and third examples in Figure 3-10 apply to the memo. You'll need to indent from the left margin when you type the numbered items and from both margins when you type the note at the end. Turn back to Figure 3-9 and let's start out together. Then you can continue on your own. Begin by pressing the F1 key and pressing Enter to skip the password. Then, using the information given in the left side of Figure 3-9, answer the prompts on the Create New Document menu. Go ahead. Do that now. Next, press Ctrl and F together, and then reset the margins according to the instructions at the top of Figure 3-9. Do that now. Okay, now type the first part of the memo, up to the first numbered item. Go ahead. Before you type the numbered items, press Ctrl and F together. Then type an O on top of the left margin symbol, and type a left margin symbol 5 characters after the O. When you finish, press Enter. Then type the number 1 and a period. Space or press Tab to move the cursor to the left margin and type the text for the numbered item. Continue in this manner until you have typed all 3 items. Go ahead, do that now. Again, before you type the last paragraph, press Ctrl and F together, then overtype the outline tab with a hyphen and reset the margins at 30 and 51. When you finish, press Enter, then type the indented paragraph. Go ahead. With all the margin changing we did with this memo, you may be wondering what will happen if you go back and want to insert or delete in one of the beginning paragraphs. The narrow margins you have now won't affect anything already typed. The system remembers how each paragraph was typed and keeps the format for that paragraph if you come back to revise it. The margins in the format line tell you how the next paragraph will look. So no matter how many times you change the margins in a document, the system will keep track of them and keep them as you type them. If you would like to print a copy of the memo, ask for the printing utility. Press Ctrl and U together, then type the letter P. Answer the printing prompts, and then press Escape to activate the printer. If you decide not to print the memo, press Ctrl-Q to quit the document. Okay, go ahead and print the memo or quit the document. Whether you printed the memo or quit the document, you're back on the directory page now. We'll discuss a few special printing instructions and finish up the lesson. There are additional features that you can type in the text to change the appearance of the printout. For example, you can print characters bold, underlined, and double underlined. You can also print super and subscript characters. You can even combine these features. The features and the instructions for them are listed in Figure 3-11. Note that some of the features only work if you are using a Daisy Wheel 2 printer. Read the information in the figure carefully, and if it applies to you, experiment with the instructions on your own. All right, we've come to the end of this lesson, and we certainly worked with different documents. If you would like to practice centering, aligning numbers, or indenting, create a new document and experiment on your own. Remember to return to the directory page and then select the End Session Utility before you remove the diskette and turn the system off. Also review Figure 3-12, which has the list of features and terms we covered during the lesson. Be sure that you're comfortable using these features before you begin Lesson 4. In Lesson 4, we're going to practice recalling pages from a document and adding new pages to a document. We'll learn new editing instructions and also learn how to move and copy blocks of text. Lesson 4 will be busy. If you're not going to practice and are not going to begin Lesson 4 right away, select the End Session Utility. Remove the ScriptSet diskette and turn the system off. If you're going to begin Lesson 4 now, keep the system on and keep the directory on the screen. See you in Lesson 4. Fast forward the tape. This is the end of Lesson 3.